from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Thursday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on Newstalk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, an update on the kids in the Hosking Hawksby household and the work they're up to. Shane Van Gisbergen joins us ahead of the supercars this weekend, and Coomera can save your life. But first up, a bad book and a good book. The Clinton book first.
Her solution, equally worthy of mention, is the only way to get sexism out of politics is to get more women into politics. But none of that addresses why she lost the election a year ago, almost to the day now. She lost for a variety of reasons, and not one of them was because she was female. In fact, she milked, I thought, wisely, her gender, for all it was worth. The concept of the first female president was actually a bonus. It worked in her favour, which then makes the loss even worse. She lost because she, like everyone else, wrote Trump off. She lost because the name Clinton for many Americans is mud. She lost because Barack Obama had been president for 8 years and it was the other party's turn. She lost because, as famous and glamorous as Obama might have been internationally, he was a lame duck at home. And she lost because in her time her party was in power, the country moved conservative both in the House of Reps and the Senate. America was not up for 4 more years of Democrats. What's particularly disappointing about all of this is the irony of the book. She's making millions out of being a loser. And not just that, she's a sore loser. Nothing wrong with a bit of insight, I suppose. A personal revelation or two about the pain of loss. But this thing's turned into a marathon psych session as she moans her way literally around the planet. And as for the Democrats, I'll tell you this for nothing. As shambolic as Trump is, and he's setting records for it these days, he's still hot with his base. The base still support him. And the Democrats still don't have a viable contender for 2020. And if they think Clinton's loss is bad, imagine how they will handle the second term of Trump.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes, he's raised that ugly, ugly yellow-haired spectre. We'll see what happens. Of course, no more terms of Mandela really possible. But he was working on a book off and on. In the years leading up to his death. Here's the guy who was helping him with it.
Why haven't they followed his path, his thinking, his ideas? What's happened there, do you think?
Well, there are a number of factors, and you know, I could give you a long scholarly kind of response on this, but I would say right at the heart of understanding what happened is that his successors were not the people that he had selected. And in terms of the longer-term implementation of the strategies and the policies that were put in place in that very short five-year period that he was leading the country, we haven't done very well at that.
No, indeed not. 4 years on from his death, the importance of this as you see it in keeping his name, his memory and his legacy alive.
For me, it's about inspiring another generation to pick up where he left off, and to see what he was able to accomplish in very, very difficult circumstances. Because, you know, frankly, it's easy to become discouraged in South Africa today. So we're hoping the book will inspire a younger generation to trust that they can make a difference.
Do you think that younger generation is there? The talent is there?
Absolutely. I mean, I look at a generation between 25 and 35 years old, and I'm inspired by them, but they need to move into the top leadership positions in government and in the private sector. And then I think we'll be looking in pretty good shape.
Okay, here's hoping. Yeah, I'm not sure it's really still my number one ideal tourist destination, to be perfectly honest, but things can change. Things can change. Now, Mike started talking about the jobs his kids have been doing lately and how and their appreciation of a regular wage. Sounds like at least one of them's going from strength to strength.
So he goes and gets this job, and he's been doing it now for about two and a half, maybe 3 weeks. And in that period of time, he has been promoted now to the manager of a specific department. So in a period of 2 or 3 weeks, he's gone from, you know, just wandering around the place, going from department to department to department, to being the manager of this particular department. He's 18 years old. He started off at $16 and something an hour, which is pretty good money for an 18-year-old kid. He was loving it, and he couldn't. And I told you last time I told you about the story was he suddenly became focused. When he worked out that you can go a place to a place each day, and in return they will give you money, this was a revelation to him, and his whole focus and view of the world changed completely. They like him there, so they put him in charge of a particular department. He's gone from $16 something to $23 something an hour, which is, by rough calculation, something like a 40% wage rise in about 2.5 weeks. And he's home yesterday and he's saying, look, I'm going to do about 50 hours this week. This is sort of a full-time, part-time kind of job where he just does the hours. And we've always said to our kids, be enthusiastic, turn up, work hard, don't be a problem, and you will be rewarded for it. So what he's seeing now is you start at $16 something, he's at $23 something already. 50 hours this week. I'm sitting there getting ready for work yesterday. It suddenly strikes me that you times 50 times $23 and something an hour, this kid's earning, 18 years old, the average wage in this case, he's pulling down $50,000 a year by simply having gone down to this place, turned up and goes, hi, I'm available, ready to work, what have you got for me? The guy's pulling 50 grand a year at the age of 18. Now, you cannot be more prouder than that. I mean, all you want as a parent is for your kid to go out into the world to do well and enjoy their version of success. And look at that. I mean, and if he can do it, anybody can do it. So this whole business of there is no work and it's all too difficult and I don't know where to find, it's crap. Anyone can go out and find work if you want it, and having found it, if you want to do well, you can.
Yep, because everybody's got the exact same opportunities as somebody who's closely related to Mike Hosking. He doesn't see that sometimes. I mean, there's some validity to his point, and then there's some arguments to be made against it, I feel. Let's just balance it out, just quietly. Just quietly. Shane Van Gisbergen doesn't know anything about doing things quietly. He drives very loud cars for a living.
Do you like being back at Pukekohe?
Oh, just being home in general. I've been home for a week or so now, and yeah, really looking forward to getting out there and getting on track tomorrow.
What about Blue? I saw you at Bruce McLaren's place yesterday. That it's a wonderful, wonderful time to be in motorsport in New Zealand, isn't it? When you take in your success and the fellow Kiwi success in the supercars, Paddon in the rallying, F1 with Hartley at the moment. I mean, what a great time!
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, and I think I got asked yesterday why it is. But in my era, when I was sort of growing up racing, you know, having those guys and also Alabama, and I think we all pushed ourselves so much when we were younger, and I think that's helped us now. We're all at a pretty high level. So as a it's a pretty good perk.
And do you reckon your success is going to lead young blokes, young people looking at this and going, I can have a bit of that in future years as well?
Well, I hope so, yeah. I was the same growing up, always going out to Pukekohe and watching. You know, that was my inspiration, and that got me into the sport. And hopefully that, you know, there's three of us now, Kiwis in the supercar, all in good cars. So hopefully, yeah, that inspires some young kids to follow us along.
Yeah, odd that he drives just the very latest in automotive technology and yet can't seem to get a decent Bluetooth connection. Not sure what that's about. Sometimes some phones just won't talk very well to some cars. I've found that to be the case. Hey, the latest secret to a long and healthy life is a combination of kumara and push-ups, apparently.
Anthocyanin, which I've never heard of. It's a high concentration of anthocyanin, which is found. It's a great antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. They're all that, but apparently this is like supercharge. So you have the purple kumara, reduction of colon cancer by 75%. That alone is worth eating purple kumara for. And push-ups, that was the other
you
big one.
You need to leave the purple on?
Nah, it's got to be purple, because it's not the other kumara. Other kumara is not as good. It's got to be the purple kumara.
But you get what I'm saying, right?
You mean the skin?
The kumara skin's pretty tough to eat.
It's a picture roasty. Got to roast it up, the whole thing. Go for gold. I mean, it's 75%. It's only 42% if you peel the skin off. I just made that last part up. University of Sydney, the push-ups are the big one. They've massive study too, 80,000 people they've looked at. If you do the push-ups, the strength-based exercises, 23% reduction of risk of premature death by any means, 23%, that's worth doing push-ups for, 31% reduction in cancer-related death. It's worth eating.
That is really weird, because whenever I attempt push-ups, I lose the will to live.
I don't know how that works. Yeah. Purple kumara and push-ups, you'll live forever.
Am I the only one who finds it weird that you have to eat the kumara with the skin on? That's hard, yeah. It's like doing push-ups with your mouth in many ways, don't you think? Anyway. That was the rewrap. We wrapped up kumara, we wrapped up push-ups, we wrapped up all sorts of things, books, Who knows what we'll wrap up for you tomorrow, but we will. I'll see you then. I'm Glenn ZB.